morning we'd just like to comment before we go into the scriptures about the fact that we're having on our Saturday morning, we're having a special Bible course we're taking up. It's called Seeking Bible Treasures. It's the 12 lessons on Bible study methods. It's rather a program type of instruction, and the fellows that were with us yesterday morning were thoroughly enjoyed this Bible study. Let me say this, if you're really interested in looking into and really studying the Word of God and want to know what methods I can use to really get to understand the Bible a whole lot more, I can assure you that these Bible lessons will be a very positive help to you. It's a Mayus Bible course Bible study, but we had the first lesson last week, but it was only a elementary lesson, as it were. It's not a, in fact, the first couple are rudimentary, if you wish, or elementary. They kind of lead us into the real meat of the matter, and I'm sure that you'll be greatly helped. It's called Seeking Bible Treasures. And of course, as a bonus, if you come early enough, we have a couple of good cooks and they serve us breakfast. So that's just a bonus. I'd like to also amplify what has been said with respect to the New Year's Eve, little get together, as it were, and more particularly, we just want to emphasize we want to do it in the final analysis, as we have suggested, is going to be the fact of having remembering the Lord and the new year in and the old year out. However, we plan on having three F's so you can remember it easily. There's going to be food, fellowship, and fun. So I hope you can remember those three little F's. We're going to have, Lord willing, we'll have a little banquet, as it were, and we're going to have certainly some fellowship, some very special singing. We're going to spend some time doing this, and also we're going to have some fun at the very beginning. We're going to have some games. So we want to have a happy time in many aspects, but climaxing it all, of course, will be the time to simply look into the old year and the new year in and the old year out. And so doing, we want to do this around the Lord's Supper. Thank you very much now, and we just want to turn our Bibles to the first portion of Scripture this morning is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to look at that just for a moment, and we're going to use this Scripture this morning as a kind of a springboard to go to our subject in Romans. We're going to still continue on in the book of Romans, but I want to use Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, as a kind of a springboard for it. Matthew 2, please, and I'm sure that most of us know the story primarily in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, but I want to just particularly look at a few verses at the beginning of our message this morning. We want to look at verse 7 for connection of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now shall we turn our Bibles, please, on over to Romans chapter 12, and there we're going to look into the major portion that we were looking at last week. And so we want to tie these two together this morning partially. Romans chapter 12, please, and then we're wanting to read particularly the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or rational service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm sure the Lord will indeed bless the reading of this portion of the scriptures for his name's sake. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, one of the very interesting things concerning this was how that the wise men came from the east to worship the Lord Jesus. We do not know really how far east, but it must have been some distance because of the fact that we know that the Palestine is, the whole area is in the Middle East. And yet, these wise men came from the east. So it would certainly be a simple deduction without any stretch of the imagination to know that they must have come for some period of time and they must have come from some distance. But they brought with them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which we just a few moments ago were singing about and also having read. Very interesting that these things were gifts. But I want to suggest to you this morning something that was even more important than their gifts that they brought. And this is what I want to begin to look at this morning. They brought gifts, but they brought something else that was more important than their gifts. They brought themselves to the Lord Jesus. They must have given themselves to Christ even before they came, because they came with gifts to worship. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we do trust that as we look into the Word of God this morning, that you'll see that Christmas, and we really enjoy Christmas because of the atmosphere that it produces, or it should produce. But the important point is that with relation to all that relates to Christmas in every aspect, I want to ask a question this morning. What real gift do you come to give to the Lord Jesus? What really real gift do you come? Let's lay aside for a moment this morning your wife. Let's lay aside for a moment this morning your husband. Let's lay aside for a moment your boyfriend or girlfriend. Let's lay aside the whole picture, but I'm asking the question at the very offset of our little message this morning, what do you, as a person, give to Christ this coming Christmas? This is so important, for you see, you really will have no gift really worth giving unless you come to bring yourself. And that's why I wanted to look this morning at Romans chapter 12. That's why I wanted to have you see that in relation to Christmas, Christmas can only be what value to you as you are brought into focus in relation to the Lord Jesus and you as a person. And you see, that old hymn that We sing so many times, a beautiful hymn, Have You Any Room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sins. And this morning, how he asks admission. The sinner, will you let him in? And so as we look at this portion of the scripture this morning in Romans chapter 12, already it's a presupposition. Already it's a foregone conclusion that you have really accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior. But not only is He the Savior of the world, not only is He the Savior of sinners, but that He is your Savior this morning. And we trust that this is true. Because you really can give no gift at all that will please God in any way unless you've come yourself as a poor, lost sinner to find God's beloved Son as your very own personal Savior. And so as we look at this portion in Romans 12 now, remember last week we looked at it, and we looked at it as we began to close our service that on last Sunday morning, and we looked at it as the ground of salvation. We just want to refresh your memory for a moment or two. How that therefore by the mercies of God, this is where we began. As we looked at this portion of the scripture, it was the mercy of God. And so, there isn't anything else this morning that we can really lay claim on, except God in His infinite mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, in His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin. You see, we work from salvation. There is no way in which you and I can work for salvation. The work of salvation is complete and has been complete. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He finished the work for your salvation. And so therefore, it's not by works of righteousness that you can do, but according to His mercy He saves us. And so this morning, it's the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. We noticed it was voluntary. We noticed that it was voluntary because it says that ye present. And I like that little word, ye. It's not we. It's ye. It's ye. What have you done with Jesus this morning, which is called the Christ? You see, we're to present our bodies. That's why it's so complete. It's not only voluntary, but it's complete, it's comprehensive. That word body there is included not only the physical side of us, but it presents the whole person, body, soul, spirit. You see, the whole matter of my consecration to Christ is complete. But also it's sacrificial. And this we notice because it says a living sacrifice. You see, our consecration to Christ as we bring ourselves to Christ then is something that is completely sacrificial. He wants everything. You see, God is not satisfied just with money. So many people think that finances, money is going to buy them to heaven. In fact, money will buy you into every place but heaven. It will give you possibly many things, maybe if not most things, but happiness and peace. You see, money cannot buy happiness, nor can it ever buy real peace. And so God is saying to us, It's a living sacrifice. You see, it's in a practical matter as well, because it has to do with our service. It has to do with our... It's rational. When we think of all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, it's a rational service. When we think of all, what really should we not give? What really should we not give? But this morning I want to move on to the second verse, and I want to particularly, I want you to notice there's a demand. Look, there's a price to pay for consecration to Christ. And you know, the price, as we're going to look at in a very moment or two, is the world. It says, be not conformed to this world. That's the demand of your consecration. That's the demand of it. Be not conformed to this world. The word really, the world is age. It doesn't mean the cosmos, the beauty. No one surely can look upon the splendor of God's finger work in so many areas in our country, and I think particularly Nova Scotia. I don't think there's a more beautiful sight in all of God's creation as to see Cape Breton and the turning of the leaves. I have been there in more times than one, and I'm always awestruck. I just can't go around the Cabot Trail without really worshiping the Lord. The glory of God's finger work. And so it isn't the, not to be conformed to that. You see, it has to do with this evil world. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 1. Just with me, just for a second, turn over to Galatians chapter 1. I want you to read with me that verse. I think it's important that we see this. We do not realize how this world is so evil in that sense. Not in the sense of the beauty of its cosmos. But notice with me, please, verse 4. Verse 3 for connection of Galatians 1. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, who gave himself for our sins. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus is related always in relation to our being redeemed, the redemption of our soul, and he relates this often to the world. Notice, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You see, Satan is presently the God, not with a capital G, but with a small g, God of this world. Admittedly, the world, as it were, is a difficult word in that sense. But it means everything in the order of things outside the kingdom of God. Everything outside the kingdom of God. As I have explained, I hope we'll understand that has nothing to do with the cosmos. It really applies to the condition of the world rather than the position. You know, when we think of all the havoc sin has wrought in this world, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, this is the problem. The whole, you can write S-I-N over the whole problem of the present world that we're in. It has nothing to do with God. Oh, that men and women, but all of us were to realize that everything outside the kingdom of God in this world is evil. There isn't one good thing that it can form to us. It has to do with atmosphere rather than the sphere of the world. You see, the spirit of this age is absolutely selfishness. I don't know how. I'm mystified, both by capitalism and by socialism. Why? Because of one positive word, and it's spelled with a capital S. S-E-L-F. Self. Self-centeredness. Self-hope. Everything that relates to self. And this begun in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, rebelled against God. You see, what a difference between that and God's love at Calvary. Oh, beloved friends, what a vast difference between this world this morning. Just think with me for a moment. Can I just have you just for a moment with me? And as we look out this world, no matter where we are, and our television has brought really the whole mass of the world into our room, and we can look at it in the newscast, and there's a lot of people are getting so tired of the newscast because they're not news, it's bad news. And this problem lies as we look at it, and then let me turn you to Calvary. Calvary, Lord, in spirit now, our weary souls want to repair, to feast upon God's dying love. Taste its sweetness there. What a contrast. It's a violent contrast. You see, the object is gratification of self rather than the divine will of God. Its authority springs from Satan. All the havoc that this world is placing before us this morning. Because it has rejected the true ruler, the real true ruler of the universe. Just for a moment, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. I just want to look at a verse or two. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And I'm going to look, please, with me at verse 27. The Lord Jesus is about to leave this scene. He's about to leave earth. And he's soon going to be crucified. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. These are chapters that are just under the shadow of the cross. Peace I leave with you, verse 27 of John 14. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid, he's saying to the disciples. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Now here it is. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. And have nothing. You see, the present true ruler of this universe, he's the God, he's the prince of this world. And oh, you know, friend, I want to say, oh, he's not going to be the prince long. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming very soon. His first coming, we're celebrating, if he be not come the second time, we'll celebrate it next Saturday. And I'm thankful for being able to do that with my family. But oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is very possible this morning that the Lord Jesus will be here before we celebrate his coming. It's not impossible by any means. The God of this world, the prince of this age. You see, the prince of this age is still reigning. He's the true present ruler. That's why all the havoc. That's why all the, the carnage. But one of these days, he's going to come, and he's not going to be the babe of Bethlehem. He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. If you haven't bowed the knee to Jesus Christ this morning, it may be possible that you're going to bow whether you want to or not very soon. For every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. This morning, he's wanting it voluntarily. He's, in the overtures of his love, is wanting to draw you and I to himself. But you see, man in his rebellion, man in his stubbornness, doesn't want to surrender. You see, the believer, therefore, the one who is truly saved by the grace of God this morning, therefore must be very careful to avoid taking the shape from this evil world. And believe me, it's an enemy of every child of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil is an absolute, definite, threefold enemy of the child of God. Unless we are particularly careful, we will find ourselves influenced and fashioned like the world. We'll give up to the Spirit and its life. Just think being in a crowd of so-called Christians on us. On New Year, on Christmas Eve or on New Year's Eve, and they're frolicking in a godless, Christless way, and you name the name of Christ by your lips. Just think of that. Every one of those people is tantamount in saying this morning, they ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. And but for the grace of God this morning, I would be there too. For apart from that, apart from the marvelous grace of God, I wouldn't have known any better. But you see, thank God, he's poured his grace into my life, and I don't want to be conformed. I don't want to be brought into its mold. You see, this gives special appeal, as the Apostle Paul says, to be separated in heart and in spirit from this godless, Christless world. But that's the negative side. And I want to get to the positive. You see, on this light in front of me, there's a negative and a positive. You wouldn't have light if you didn't have one bulb. I don't know much about electricity, but I know that anyway. You see, now I'm coming to the positive. But be transformed. I want to ask you a question this morning. I thought I was going to get through this second verse, but I don't know anyway. But look, just with me for a moment, please. I want to ask a question. Are you a conformer or are you a transformer this morning? You see, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The only remedy against being conformed is by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Holy Spirit is to be allowed continually to work in the realm of my intellectual and my moral thought. It's in, God reaches me through my mind first. Then he moves down into my heart. Maybe you're here this morning and all it's got is into your head. It has got 18 inches lower, about 18 anyway.
Lower, you see, into your heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, the mind in Scripture is more than the intellect. Although it includes the intellect, let me say this morning, God's love and my being conformed to this, then being conformed and transformed from this whole picture has to do really and literally, ladies and gentlemen, certainly with my intellect, but it moves into my whole being. You see, on three occasions in this chapter, in this epistle, he talks about the mind. Just turn with me to the first chapter. God talked about the mind there, and you'll see how it had to do not only with the matter of the intellect, but more than that, more than the intellect. Notice with me verse 20. I can't read the whole of it. It shows how that these people who professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is the picture of man in his state away from God. Worshipping something, even birds. Even beasts, even creeping things, man must worship. If he doesn't worship God, then he'll worship anything. He'll even worship money. Now I want you to notice with me, God, for this cause, verse 27, 26, this, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even to their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Homosexual condition. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not liken to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Not only their bodies. You see, their bodies was only an expression of what was really in their heart. Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. See, the mind is the avenue can be used either for good or for bad. Either for the glory of God or for the awful hatefulness of the wicked flesh of man. You see, it blends both intellectual and moral. You see, the mind may be described as the faculty by which the soul perceives either good or bad. The mind is that faculty which the soul perceives or really discerns. Which is good or bad. That's how God made you. It almost amuses me. And I believe it does amuse me to some degree, but only for the mercy of God do I see it, that man would think that man is not higher than the animal. My, that's a mystery. There's no animal can perceive that which is good or bad. God has made man like that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this fact, the result of this faculty has been disturbed and distorted. God never intended really man to be like that. Self has darkened the mind and led it to regard everything from purely personal and the selfish point of view. This is what sin has done in life. Ladies and gentlemen, who those of you who are really saved this morning, that's why you love the flesh. You see, it's only the Holy Spirit alone this morning who can renew us in this faculty of moral perception. The natural man understands, says 1 Timothy chapter 2, understands not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually blind. You see, this morning, by reason of sin, it is under the power of the flesh. This control can only be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. You see, it may be very important to ponder this idea of moral transformation. Oh, beloved saints of God, may God help you and not only you, but me as well, because we're living in a godless, immoral age, a fleshly, immoral age. And the television can do more to destroy your Christian walk with God than maybe anything that this world can do. There's a grave danger for that. Can destroy. You see, it's so important to see that God is wanting to transform. Do you know what that word really, transform, means? The same word we get the word metamorphosis from. It means that little worm that spins its own cocoon. And there inside that little cocoon, it grows, but doesn't grow out to be a worm. It grows out to be a butterfly. It becomes transformed. It's a condition from inside, not outside. You'll never, never deal with worldliness from outside. God strikes at the heart for the change, men and women. It's the heart that man believes unto righteousness. It's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, listen. For the next moment or two, I want to deal with the effect of this. What's the effects? What's the real effects of consecration to Christ? What's the real effects of real what Christmas is really going to mean to you and I? I want you to notice, I won't be able to deal with it in its entirety for time has gone. But I want you to notice with me three things in this chapter. And majorly, these three things cover the most of the ground. Okay? Notice that you may prove what is that good. Good. What is good? Real good comes from God. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God willing, next week we'll look at the will of God that can be known, not guessed at. God is not some mystical person that lives in the yonder, never can be known. This is life eternal, said the Lord Jesus, that ye might know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. God is someone that can be really known. And I'm so thankful this morning that he's known through Jesus Christ. Yes, for he said, I am the way. And without the way, there's no going, friend. You're wandering if you don't know him as the way. He said, I am the I am the way, the truth. And without the truth, there's no way in which we can really be sure of the roadmap. You know, some people hope so, and some people think so, and some people may be so, and some people guess so. But I thank God this morning
with all my heart. I know that I'm saved. How do I know that? Ah, by the Word of God, by the positive, definite roadmap, the only roadmap that God can give me. You see, He's the truth. I'm not searching for the truth. God in Christ has brought truth to me in the person of His glorious Son. Oh, I want to learn more about Him. Seems I know so little after 45 years. 45 years? My dear, I didn't think I could think it would be that long. But you see, it's the truth. After 45 years, oh, I feel I don't know Him the way I should. But oh, I'm so thankful this morning, I really know Him. And I want you to know Him this morning, if you should be here without Him. And I want you to grow in His knowledge if you really are in Him this morning. You see, to know Him is the first result of consecration effected by presenting yourself to the Lord. If you really know the Lord, He says, bring me your offering. I want you. I want your all. I want all of you. You see, are you ready to give Him your all this morning? As a sinner, to lay your burdens of your sin down at Jesus' feet. There, to gaze on Him and come to Him and all His sacrifice and embrace Him as your Lord, as your Savior. You go on to grow on to know Him. Look, if you're here this morning, there is nothing so important as to get to know Him more. Oh, to get to know Him more. That I might know Him, said Paul, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. 1 Philippians 1. Oh, may God grant, as we come now near the Christmas season, that You'll bring Your offering, bring Yourself to Jesus Christ for His name's sake. Shall we pray? O God, our Father, this morning we thank Thee for such portions of Scripture, yet they bear so heavily on our hearts. When we think of all He's done, and for me the guilty one, oh, how I should love Him more. The one who gave Himself for our sins that we might be delivered from this present, godless, Christless, evil world. O God, the world that crucified Thy Son. O grant, we pray, if there should be someone here this morning, out of Christ and without a Savior, on this wild and stormy sea of life, like a ship without a rudder. O God, bring them to the place where they can be anchored in Christ, we pray. And for us who are saved by grace, oh, we should return unto Thee our thanks this morning that Thou saved us. But O God, saved us for a purpose, that we might not be conformed. God, deliver us from conforming. But oh, bring us into that experience of transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, so that we will be made more like our Lord Jesus. Grant this, we pray, in His precious name. Amen.